Welcome to the NutraCast, a production by Nutra Ingredients USA. I'm Danielle Masterson. Thank you for joining me here on the NutraCast, where we talk and share insights from inside the nutrition industry. Arcadia Biosciences is a crop innovation company that is pioneering new developments in hemp through plant breeding technology and gene editing. And now they're taking it up a notch by getting EASCA certification. To find out more about that and what it means for the company as well as the hemp industry as a whole, I'm joined by Arcadia's Chief Tech Officer, Dr. Randy Schultz, who has been leading on the research and development fronts. Welcome to the NutraCast, Randy.
Thank you, Danielle. A pleasure to be here.
Tell me about this EASCA certification and kind of share what it is for those who may not know what exactly it is.
Yeah, so EASCA stands for the Association of Official Seed Certifying Agencies. So EASCA is a national coalition of various members that are really state agencies that certify seed. So it's recognized both within the US and in some cases globally. So Canada, Argentina, a number of other countries recognize EASCA as really the standard for seed purity, genetic purity, performance, germination, really setting those standards so that the growers know that what they're getting in the bag is going to perform to those standards and meet the quality criteria that they have. So the National Association meets, and their job really is to review all of the attributes of a new variety for any crop, really, and it's pretty standard across a number of different crops in the industry. So they review the attributes of those measurements, a lot of detail, and their job is to confirm that this variety is new and that it's stable and that it has genetic purity. And once those varieties have been approved, which is what we reported for four of our varieties, Rogue, Umpqua, Santiam, and Potomac, once the national board has approved those, then the state agencies come and they inspect your seed production. And they also have a pretty stringent set of criteria that they follow to make sure that your seed production run leads to high quality material. And they independently test the germination rate, feminization rate in some cases. So it's really kind of a third party independent review of what a company like Arcadia says, hey, we've got really great stable material, really great germ. Well, now you can trust, you know, that a third party, a nationally recognized organization, has sort of put their stamp of approval on that as well.
You mentioned that four of your varieties pass these rigorous standards that EASCA put forth. How does someone prepare for something like that? How did you guys get ready for that?
Well, it's a lot of data collection, a lot of breeding, a lot of, you know, selection in the field. So you have to have multiple years of data collection, as well as multiple locations. You take all sorts of really, you know, detailed measurements about leaf size, shape, internode length, overall look of the plant, you know, differences in height. So really what they're trying to do is have you prove to them and prove to the industry that when somebody buys your variety and plants it, each of those plants are going to look the same and they're going to perform the same way. So you don't have all of this variability in the field that actually has really plagued the hemp industry over the last couple of years. So we're really excited to be kind of setting the bar of this quality and performance in the industry and giving the growers that confidence so that they know that they're actually going to get what they're paying for.
Mm-hmm. And when you're determining some of these desirable traits in hemp, what market segments should be considered?
Right. Well, you know, we consider a number of different market segments. So we do have product offerings, and Rogue, Umpqua, Santiam, and Potomac are all actually targeted towards the extract and wellness market. So producing, you know, large amounts of CBD and other cannabinoids and giving farmers the yield and the performance and that stability that they look for so that year in and year out, they're able to, you know, get good yields and good product off of their land. But we're also very interested in the more industrial side of hemp. So we'll have a fiber variety coming out next year. And we see fiber and other industrial uses as a huge growth area for hemp. And a lot of farmers are interested. I was reading an article the other day that was talking about up to 400,000 acres, you know, maybe planted of fiber even in this year, and that'll continue to grow. So the infrastructure is starting to get set up, decorticators and processing units, and that's really going to drive a significant growth in fiber acres in the U.S. Going forward. The third market segment is really around protein, so grain, whether it's for human or for animal feed, And that's another segment that we focus on and will be delivering varieties for in the future.
Okay, so it sounds like this certification is really about being uniform and being able to make this predictable, which obviously the past year has been anything but. Have you guys been impacted by the pandemic? Has whether it's supply chain growing, working with other farmers, how has that affected you?
Yeah, well, I think the pandemic hit everybody pretty hard and a little bit by surprise. So we're no exception. Our headquarters are in Davis, California, and we run both our R&D lab here as well as some greenhouse facilities, as well as our corporate offices. And so, we are an essential business driving for agriculture. And so the lab and greenhouse team, as well as, some key facilities folks, clearly still had to come in, but we had to adjust everyone's schedule, right? Just like everybody else, trying to minimize the number of people in a space at a time. And then folks that could work from home did work from home. So a lot more Zoom calls, a little bit of some empty office space. But on the bright side, I think we were able to really continue communicating through the online tools. And in some cases, barriers between our different locations. So we also have a location in Idaho, we have a location in Hawaii, we have a location in Oregon. So with everybody on Zoom, it actually kind of gets a little easier for those distances to shrink a little bit. Another big challenge, though, has been travel related to business. So potential partnerships, potential customers, actually being able to, meet them face to face, sit down, have a meal. I miss that a lot.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of okay with not seeing their coworkers every day, but the partnerships is really what people are missing, and just some of those gatherings and in-person events that we're so used to going to.
And some of the global business. So we also have our wheat portfolio, obviously, and we've been cultivating partnerships over in Italy and other parts of Europe. And it just makes a tremendous difference in the pace at which you can move a potential project forward if you're able to visit in person. A lot of times email and even the video calls just don't have the same impact as as a face-to-face meeting as far as moving projects along. So definitely things have been a little bit slower, I think, than they would have otherwise, but I'm really proud of the team and I think we're chugging along and we'll make it through and really proud of the progress that we've continued to make during this really challenging time.
Yeah, and was it challenging for you to obtain that EASCA certification amid the pandemic? Did that slow things down?
It was actually, I mentioned the quantity of data you have to gather is pretty significant. And so there were some sites this summer that we had these varieties growing in that we were unable to travel to. So we couldn't collect our own data. So instead of, losing that season, we actually, ended up hiring some local folks to go and collect some of the data for us. We had people taking drone flights over all of our fields so that we could have our breeders and our agronomists actually look at the plants and, understand them without being there in person. And then we used some of our greenhouse space in order to gather some data that we were unable to get in the field for those varieties. So we did have to scramble a little bit, but we were able to get it done in the end. And, the EASCA folks were really great to work with. So Chet Boroff is the president and CEO over there. And, it's great to be able to pick up the phone and actually get a hold of him directly and ask questions and so they were just a really fantastic team to work with.
I know that EASCA provides a lot of support services to the industry, but what about when it comes to regulations? Can you call Chet up and ask about, the ever-changing hemp and CBD landscape?
Well, Chet's a great resource for sure. I think in the hemp space, things change so rapidly that there's actually very few people you can call up and really get a really solid view of everything that's going on. It really state by state things are different. And of course the federal government, will change things all the time. So they went from the initial USDA IFR, it was called, so interim final rule, opened up for comments, took comments, and then came out with their final rule, which was quite different. And each of the states were at the same time trying to build their own programs if they chose to. So California, for example, was trying to align their program with the IFR, and then they released their rules before the IFR came out, and there's some differences. So they're going to have to go back and change their rules. So I sound like I'm rambling because it really is kind of like that in the process. You pretty much have to continually be in touch. So we use our county ag commissioners and county resources, as well as the Department of Agriculture, and I'm sure in other states it's the same way. And so, same thing with selling seed. So as we're, selling seed in many different states, the rules and regulations are different. So we have a full-time person that really just tries to help us stay abreast of all the different rules and make sure we're following all the regulations as they shift.
Yeah, it's a full-time job. It really is. I mean, just as somebody who writes about it, like you said, you thought you sounded like you're rambling, but it's true. I mean, it was back and forth and this and that, and it makes your head spin.
It does. Yep.
So what are your hopes from the new administration? What are you hoping to see?
Yeah, I think a couple of pretty important things. I think the new administration, and there is a bill currently active. It didn't really move in some past administrations, but clarifying or having the FDA clarify the regulatory status of CBD in foods and for wellness products. So obviously important for us as members of the industry, but I think also critical for the public because people are using these products. And, it's really important that they use them safely and really understand the guidelines in which they should be using them. And so I really hope, and I'm optimistic that the Biden administration will recognize this and will really, help drive the government and drive the FDA to put together some regulations, because regulations are good. They help people, they help the industry know how to behave, what to do, the amount of active molecule in different products, for example. So that's one. And the second really is, I hope that the new administration will spend some time and resources really looking at the regulations that are in place. So the 0.3% THC, for example, is that the right number? Why is it that? Should it be a little bit higher? And a number of other things just in really enabling the industry to be successful, because I believe, and I know a lot of people share this belief, that hemp really is a very useful crop, whether it's for industrial purposes, whether it's for grain and protein and human food. It takes less resources to grow, it cleans up the soil, good for wellness. So, there's really a lot of upside. It also captures a lot of carbon, for example, I think three times more than corn and soybeans. And so all this potential, just not to let it flounder in an state of sort of unknown. And so I really hope that they'll drive some clarity over the next several years.
Yeah, as does I think all of the industry, but some might say the administration has bigger fish to fry right now. So do you think that it's going to be kind of put on the back burner for a while?
It is encouraging that I think, especially given all of the lack of sort of bipartisan activities over the last, well, even multiple administrations, hemp seems to really unite Congress. So when you look at active bills that are good for the industry, you see Republicans and Democrats alike all signing up to support it. So even though it's not of utmost priority for the administration, I do think that there's an opportunity for Congress to really work together to do something, to really help farmers and to really help establish what could be a very valuable industry for the economy going forward.
Yeah, it does seem like hemp has really brought a lot of people together. What are some of the advancements that are being made on this new slash old crop?
Yeah. It's, you look back to even over the last couple of years, right? So you've been in this for a little while. 2017, 2018, working under the pilot program, it just fraught with problems. The genetics were all over the place. Seeds weren't germinating. People were getting sued for not having truly feminized seed and having pollen be produced. And it was kind of a gold rush. And you had a lot of people coming in into the industry that really didn't know what they were doing. Really, nobody did. So I think we've come a long way since then. And I think, for example, having Ayahuasca certification, providing a little bit of trust and, high quality, reproducible genetics into the marketplace. And then the market itself and the industry itself, as you know, has gone through quite the roller coaster ride from boom to bust to hopefully where we can get to is more of a stability play. So supply sort of meeting demand as opposed to the wild swings one way or the other. So I think we have come a long way. I think that we have a long way to go, and that, really I'm rooting for some regulation to come in and try to help put some parameters around it. And I think we'll see a lot of the small players sort of fade away as more of the larger and established players can come in and really, solve the problems and really provide consistent solutions for the industry.
You're rooting for regulation, but you're also sort of self-regulating, right, with this EASCA certification. Are you hoping that you're sort of setting the tone, setting an example for other players in the industry?
Absolutely. Yep. We definitely want to have hemp for a grower not really seem that much different than another row crop that they're used to, kind of de-risking it for them, letting the growers make decisions based on their own situation and financials, as opposed to sort of rolling the dice and taking a risk. And then as you move down the supply chain, same thing. So a lot of the extractors now are self-regulating. They're getting certified cGMP, ISO, some cases FDA, really trying to bring that professionalism and that consistency in supply chain to the industry. Because at the end of the day, that's what the large consumer packaged goods companies need in order for the whole industry to grow and be successful. And same thing with, fiber, for example. If there's no consistency in the supply chain, the Patagonias, the large end users of these products really can't integrate them and have it be a core part of their portfolio. So the industry itself needs to function properly and consistently, and that's what I'm rooting for.
Arcadia's Chief Tech Officer, Dr. Randy Schultz, thank you so much for coming on the NutriCast today.
Thank you, Danielle. It was great to talk to you again.
If you like what you just heard, you could subscribe to the NutriCast wherever you get your podcast. You can also head to NutraIngredients-USA.com for even more Nutra-related content. Thank you for listening. I'm Danielle Masterson. As always, I'll catch you here on the NutriCast next week.